It's time for another Internet Advisor Show podcast. Since 1998, we've been helping computer users get on the Internet, get around it, and get over the problems they encounter there. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour weekly radio program heard on WJR 760 AM in Detroit since 1998 and across the state of Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor podcast. Thank you so much for joining us for this Hour of the Internet Advisor. I think probably the more important one, it's the one where you get to call in with your questions. Those of you listening to us live on our flagship station, WJR 760 AM in Detroit, you can call us right now directly at 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957. And we're loaded for bear today. We've got everybody from our regular crew to an expert from Microsoft here to answer your questions. Thank you. We've got a house full of guests here, people who are helping us out. We've got Gary Baker, Eddie Riddell, Shane Hamlin's with us, Dave Sawyer, who is with Microsoft's Heartland Center here in Southfield, Michigan. He's technical director there. He's with us. And Mike Amon is also here as well. We're going to have all sorts of wisdom. I tell you, this is like a huddle around the fires in Mount Olympus, right, Eddie? With all this tell we've got here.
And we even got the Boy Scouts.
Hey, that's right. Justin's here as well to back us up. All right. Very good.
Got our own think tank.
Hey. You know, one thing I wanted to talk about this week, a big thing coming up next week is going to be Apple's WWDC, the Worldwide Developers Conference.
Starting Monday, the 10th.
Some money. A lot of things are looking forward to there. Maybe iRadio. They finished their deal with Sony. Maybe. That could be coming up. But we'll have more on that next week. And Rick Broyd is going to be with us and we'll be talking about that. But, Dave, I wanted you to mention something that's happening with Microsoft right now in the Detroit metropolitan area, which is kind of neat, and very soon.
Yes, exactly. One of the nice things for us is we are finally opening some Microsoft stores in some of the different local malls. This week, we opened our specialty store at 12 Oaks. Yeah, so it's a nice place to go get some hands-on with Surface Pro.
And that's
Pro.
Kind of a kiosk that you'll find out in the...
Out in the first level, of 12 Oaks. And then later this month, we're actually opening a full large store out at Somerset.
And that's going to be, I understand, is it on the second level above... Is it above where the Apple Store is, that I understand?
I have not been out to find out where it is yet. But,
so that's a treasure hunt.
Yes. So I know that the specialty store, this month.
June, excellent. Yeah. So. Excellent. Well, we want to hear more about that when that does happen. Guys, let's dive right into our calls. We've got lots of people lined up here, and we got all this talent. Let's start answering some questions. Cliff from Toledo, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How you doing?
Oh, okay. How are you?
Very well. What can we do for you, sir?
Yes, I what is the best antivirus software that I can get, because every time I've come to the end of my contract, because every time I had Norton, but I have Trend Micro.
Yeah.
But Norton seems to slow my computer down.
Yeah. It's a complaint we've heard from a lot of people. First of all, tell us what your computer is and what operating system you're using.
It's a Samsung computer, and I'm using Windows 7.
You're using Windows 7. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's kind of quickly go around the horn. Eddie, what would you suggest?
First thing I would suggest, if it's running Windows 7, is Microsoft Security Essentials. Mm-hmm. It would provide the enhanced firewall. It would provide malware protection.
And
antivirus. And it's free and no renewal fees.
Yep.
How do I get to that?
Dave?
Well, you can go to Microsoft.com/security, and there'll be a link there to download Security Essentials, which is what you're looking for.
Now, we would suggest, Eddie, right, that you would download that first. And then disconnect the other ones?
Yeah, well, download it, install it first, and then afterwards uninstall your previous
antivirus. You want to make sure you get rid of those other ones. And if you've got anything from Norton, they usually have an uninstall. Don't just kind of like try to erase it. You really want to uninstall
it. Yeah, you want to go through programs and features.
Because it's got lots of little tendrils that are all over the place. Right. And the nice thing about, Dave, about the Microsoft Security Essentials has been that it is lightweight.
Yes,
versus
people
a lot
say
of
that
other
it
ones.
Does not impact their performance. Right. You can schedule it. It has a real-time aspect where it monitors what you're doing real-time and can help you out there. But you also can schedule scans where it will download the latest signatures for you, and it can go through and scan. It's set up to scan weekly, but depending on how often you're on your computer, and if you're doing more, you can have it scan daily.
Yep, and daily. And I would like put it to scan at 3 o'clock in the morning. Shane, anything else? You want to, like, putting a package together for people, get rid of all the other stuff, get one package that works well, Microsoft Security Essentials here.
I mean, we're all in agreement that Microsoft Security Essentials for us works best.
Good basic baseline.
You just have to remember once it's installed, where people get in trouble is when they're downloading the later, the newer Adobe or the one of the Flash, one of those type of things, or Java. They're going to sometimes have those write-alongs, so they'll try to download another version of Norton. So make sure you watch that. Because
that's very good advice.
When you get both of those on there,
You
get run into trouble.
Right. You know, that's a good point. It's usually the McAfee or the Norton add-on.
And especially, for instance, if you change your service provider for your internet. Because a lot of them, Comcast, AT&T, they all have their own packages. And to be honest with you, folks, we've heard a lot of people reacting to different things. They're good, okay? They're good. But you're better off, I think, if you have a Windows 7 machine in particular, to use Microsoft Security Essentials.
Windows 7 or 8,
In Windows 7 or 8. And Windows 8 comes...
In Windows 8, it actually is built in. There's no download required.
Excellent.
And it actually is branded under the Windows Defender component. And so you get the virus scanning and malware under Windows Defender with Windows 8. So it already comes with that product.
Okay, Cliff?
Okay, and just one more thing. I mean, is Microsoft, it seems to always pop up, have a pop-up window for them.
For Microsoft?
How can I stop that?
What do you mean by a pop-up window for what, please?
Well, every time I turn the computer on, it's asking me to download their product.
Who is asking you to download what?
It really depends on
Norton.
Oh, Norton. Yeah, Norton will has called Nagware. And once you uninstall Norton, it'll stop doing that.
Right. So you want to go into Control Panel under Programs and Features and remove, after you've installed Microsoft Security Essentials, remove the Norton antivirus.
Uninstall.
Uninstall. And then what's the other one they have in there? The Norton Updater.
Updater. There's a whole bunch of different. Anything that says Norton on it, you'll want to vacuum out.
And what was
download the Microsoft Essentials first, and then uninstall Norton.
And get that involved, and then go into Control Panel and check everything that says Norton on there, the Norton Security, Norton Updater, all the rest of that stuff, and uninstall it.
And, of course, you probably have a McAfee 2 or 2 products in there, as Shane mentioned. So you might want to look and remove McAfee, Site Advisor.
Anything else, particularly the virus protection, will battle one another, and you want to get rid of those things. All right, Cliff, thank you so much. And by the way, if you need to download any of these things, go to our site, internetadvisor.net, and Ed has got the toolkit there with a lot of links to these things. Back in just a minute, we're going to talk with Sue out in Lima Township. Thank you for being with us here. By the way, if you happen to enjoy the Internet Advisor, let's say on iTunes or one of the podcast links that we have, Sunday nights I put it up there for your download pleasure, so you can listen to it at your leisure. And we have a special program today that's 3 hours long, so it's even more to kind of take time to pick apart and listen to. Go to internetadvisor.net and you'll see download links there. On our homepage, the internetadvisor.net, we also have all sorts of links to the content that was in our program, whether it was talking about Minecraft, the game, or Justin Baker's project in Guatemala, or some of the things that Mike Amon was sharing with us about technology kind of over the horizon. You'll find that on there as well. And for those of you who listen to us through Michigan Talk Network in Grand Rapids, Lansing, Saginaw, Kalamazoo, and Muskegon, you too can get your questions to us by simply going to the homepage, internetadvisor.net, and then clicking on that Contact Us button. Send us an email with your question, and we will get some answers to you. Now, Dave Sawyer from Microsoft, kind of quickly, before we move on, we talked about security for that Windows 7 program that Cliff called in about. You mentioned something else, though, that's a very important aspect of security, and that is browsers.
Yes, exactly. I mean, we've made really big improvements in the browser that comes as the default in Windows 7 or Windows 8. We've added things like ActiveX filtering, which basically keeps ActiveX controls from running if you don't intend them to.
Is this IE10?
It would be IE10 is the most current browser, yes. Yeah. It includes the smart screen filter, which helps take you through some of the social malware aspects of it and will protect you from that. Tracking protection, so you can go and download a tracking protection list to keep kind of the ads from tracking you and delivering ads to you. The pop-up blocker, which is in there, which helps with that as well. So there's
a lot of stuff. General, folks, you need to know, and Ed, we talked about this like with Google's Chrome and Firefox, I believe, has some of these same things as well, as along with Opera and other ones. There's a lot of resources in the browsers nowadays that's built in there as add-ons, extensions. And
because that's a great attack vector
for
a lot
venue.
Of people. I mean,
Shane, you were talking about that with Minecraft, the game.
Yeah.
Downloading these mods and buried in the darn mod is a little piece
of virus.
Yeah.
So it's easily an executable, so you usually know that this wasn't a mod.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go out to Sue in Lima Township. Thank you, Sue, for being with us. Boy, you're on dial-up, huh?
Yes, I am. I barely get two bars on my cell phone, so I do have a landline. And I have 50 to 70-foot oaks and hickories all around my house. My satellite dish is 320 feet away, and they're surprised it works.
Oh, wow.
What is your suggestion to get any better service?
Move.
Get the chainsaw going.
No, I'm just kidding.
Paul Bunyan.
I mean,
it sounds like you.
Man, that's going to Guatemala.
There we go. We need that kind of. You're right. We almost. There are many places. It's interesting. Down in the Irish Hills.
I'm 15 minutes from downtown Ann Arbor.
Isn't that something? The center of learning and all wisdom.
So, any suggestions?
So you can't get any. You don't have any other access to internet except dial-up.
I'd have to cut 100-year-old trees down.
Mm. No.
I mean,
no.
Why would you have to cut that down? Because of your cellular signal?
For line of sight microwave.
I can't get a line of sight to the satellites from my rooftop, and the satellite company I'm using said that my dish is too far away. Don't even bother with internet. Mm-hmm.
But no DSL in your area, no cable modem providers that are there?
AT&T said there's not enough people here to bother burying the lines. They will not. And Comcast is about 2.5 miles away.
Yeah, you're facing what Charlie Hopper, our friend in the UP, he services people like you. It's too bad. He's up in the upper peninsula, all the way up there in Loria.
But he really does need line of sight because they're used mostly microwave.
But they go up to a mountain and come down. And the problem that Sue has in Lima is that it's not, you haven't got any high places around there to beam down into. Yeah.
Well, so she said that right now her cell phone does not have a lot of bars on it, but there are devices that are amplifiers for cell phone with an external antenna, where what you could do is get something like a MiFi, but basically one that's set up to use an external antenna, which should help maybe bridge that. Your normal phone has a very small antenna in it.
Yeah.
If you were to go ahead and get something like a signal booster to tie that in, that might actually provide you some higher speed data and give you the signal you need.
Right, and some of the MiFis actually have a connection on the side for an external antenna, and you can mount one on your roof. Now, those cell signals don't have as much problem penetrating wood, like from trees and leaves.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you have an external antenna on your house, you shouldn't have a
problem. You could tap it then into the MiFi. Now, MiFi, as I understand, for instance, what phone company do you work with?
Cavalier Telephone.
They probably have some kind of a MiFi device that they can sell you. Mm-hmm. Now, it'll be somewhat expensive, but the point is that's your internet service.
Yeah, have you tried them?
Have you tried that?
No, that's who I have my dial-up, and they can't offer me anything else. They told me
this would be through your cell phone provider, so you'd have to look at which cell phone provider you have,
right?
And then look to see what they have.
Now, it's possible that the cell phone provider she has actually uses Sprint or Verizon or an AT&T as their carrier. So it's quite possible that one of those carriers would work there. I mean,
so what is your cell phone? Who is your cell phone provider?
Verizon.
Well, see,
she's at Verizon.
You're in.
Yeah, Verizon's got plenty of devices.
They drove to my house, one of these salesmen, and he says, "I'm in your driveway." He left me a message, and he says, "I have two bars."
That's fine.
Sitting in your driveway.
That's fine.
And that was before the leaves were out.
But as Ed is saying.
But that's with his cell phone,
not necessarily
with an external antenna.
Right.
Okay.
And that's the difference. I mean, if you get further away, you have to say, which provider gives me the best service? And it may not be Verizon. You have to check that, too.
Right.
For me, AT&T in my area gives me the best, so I can go all the way even in my basement and get good signal.
Right.
Would a non-line of sight external antenna help me?
Yes, that's what they're saying with the cell phone signal.
With cell phone signals.
But it's cell phone signal. It won't be your dish network.
Yeah. No.
Dish has to have line of sight, microwave line of sight. Cell phones, the reason why they use those carriers is they penetrate concrete and wood just fine. I mean, that's why they work inside buildings.
And the signal...
And go ahead, Gary.
I was just going to say, the signal from your actual cell phone is, I think, 0.6 megawatts. And I may be wrong on that.
Point six watts.
Watts, excuse me. Yeah, so, of course, couldn't be megawatts as I was saying that.
Yeah, but, so it's really small.
But you can get like a three watt antenna.
So you get a 3-watt external amplifier because you're not putting that up to next to your head. Right. That's what people have worried about, is saying, hey, we've got to make these cell phones have a much smaller transmitter so that we're not interfering because you're holding it up to your head. If you have something that uses an external antenna, you can go ahead and use a higher power signal if you need to.
So maybe right there in your house, but definitely on your roof.
Okay.
Up on the roof.
Don't up on the roof. So don't lose hope, okay?
Try.
So, Sue, try that. We're talking about, look into getting with either Verizon or AT&T the best cell signal you can get out there. Once you've got that figured out, then what you can do is, as they're saying, get an external antenna you put up on the roof, connect that to the MiFi device. The device itself costs about $50, and I think the monthly fee is like
$50. It's more than my internet cable from, you know, Charter Communications. Mm-hmm. It's actually cheaper to get a MiFi than it is to go through
my
cable company.
There you go. So
and
you may actually...
Right?
It's MiFi. Eddie is using one right in our studio right now, and I think a couple of the guys have had it.
It's about the size of a hockey puck.
Oh, the size of a hockey puck. Just tiny, tiny little thing.
Okay.
And then, you know, you kind of put daisy chain those things together, and you could be in like Flynn.
And as far as those antennas, just to get an idea, stop in at a local electronics store or a Radio Shack, or maybe even the Verizon or AT&T store can tell you, how can I get a booster for my house? Now, don't let them talk you into getting a booster that actually connects to your internet, because you don't have internet.
No. Right.
You want a booster for your cell phone signal, then from there you go into, you know, you bring the signal into your house, and that's where your data will come in for the internet, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Let us know how these things go, okay?
I will.
Please. There are a lot of people out there who have been listening to this kind of intently, because I know, for instance, down here in East Michigan, across the Irish Hills, there's a lot of that issue of not very good, strong phone signals, and people who are very close to, like, 20 minutes from Ann Arbor, you know, where Gary, you and the internet began, I think. We'll be back in just a minute. We'll be talking with Shirley from Rochester Hills. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. We've got a load of calls in here, so let's get right back to them. Our number again, 800-859-0957. Let's say hello to Shirley from Rochester Hills. Hi, Shirley. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How are you today?
Good. What can we do for you?
I currently have a Dell laptop that I purchased in 2008 that it's run on the XP operating system.
Right.
And I'm going to have to replace this, and I'm looking for a recommendation. Everything I've seen about Windows 8 makes me not want to even touch it.
Explain that. Let's explain that right off the bat, and then I'm going to let our local salesman, Shane, talk with you.
But let me just say one other thing. We use it for very basic functions, basically the Excel product, Word documents, check the news, perhaps some purchasing.
Right.
We don't do pictures, and we don't do movies.
Okay.
And so I
would, by the way, I would say to you, well, from what I know from using Windows 8, it's perfect for you. But let me let you talk to Shane now, to our master salesman here.
Shane? No, I'm a... Yeah.
When people come into your shop
and
they ask this kind of a question...
I get it all the time. Yeah. You know, I've heard. Well, how about you experience it for yourself, right? I mean, here, we have Lenovo all-in-one touch with Windows 8 and Tiles. Play with it. See how, you know, what don't you like about this Windows 8? Things that you've heard. Well, you know, if you told me I tried Windows 8, I tried it for like a month and I don't like it, then maybe I'll believe you.
Right.
But until you try it, you know, hearsay is always a killer.
Well,
for
the tech
kind of
press
stuff.
In particular has poisoned the atmosphere. There's a lot of very, pardon me, I'll say this, a lot of very smarmy people out there who are peddling their own pet theories, and they're not really reacting to the real world people around. Justin Baker, you were talking about, Justin, we talked before about you moving from Windows 7 into Windows 8, and as a young man, no problem. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
And the learning curve was not that really hairy, was it?
Not at all for me.
No.
And what about teaching your mom?
Teaching my mom I haven't done it completely yet, but it's step by step, and it's easy.
What are some of the biggest challenges for her that might face Shirley as she's moving like from an older operating system?
One thing that's really confusing for people who haven't learned it is you have your apps on your Tile page, but then you also have to go, there's another page that has all your apps. They don't all go on your Tile page.
Right, exactly.
So you have to, like swipe down from the top and then click on all apps. And
so there's some new moves to learn,
yeah,
et cetera.
The swipes.
How's your mom doing with that?
My mom doesn't really, she doesn't really use her touchscreen, but she could.
Okay, so she could use it more, yeah, because, but she still gets along fine using the desktop, right?
Yep.
Okay, I just wanted you to hear that, Shirley. Yeah. Now, again, let's talk for Shirley. Are we going to say basic? I'm sorry, Eddie.
Well, ahead. I was going to say what she's calling for right now. What we're talking about is operating system, and what she wants to talk about is right now she had a Dell. So, what are her options, Shane?
Well, in my opinion, I'm very, very picky about my laptops. Now, the one I have in front of me is just my travel laptop. I throw it in my bag, and it's my beat up. But the one I really use at home is a Lenovo. Lenovo is by far, I feel, probably one of the best laptops on the market. In my opinion, now this is just my opinion because I've experienced a lot of different laptops.
Right.
The reason I like Lenovo, there's a couple reasons. They're made a lot different. Like when you hold a Lenovo, they don't feel flimsy and, right, you know, and
very
cheap.
Good build quality.
They're well built, nice big, you know, strong.
They're the old IBMs, right?
I mean, yes, that's, Lenovo.
That's the heritage.
People don't realize, yeah, Lenovo, IBM.
Right.
What about the warranty? One of the things I heard you talking on a show a couple of months ago is where we used to think Dell had great customer support and their warranties, Lenovo seems to have taken over them, has just leapfrogged over what Dell was doing, because Dell's qualities, you know, with the type of warranty they offered, just isn't where it was.
Yeah. For instance, in my store, when I have a customer come in for service on a Toshiba or an HP, and we have to order a warranty part, sometimes that part will take, you know, 4 weeks, 3 weeks. Boy, when I call Lenovo and I order that part, 90% of the time it's there the next day.
Wow.
And I'm talking to somebody right here in the States, which is very important with Lenovo. Their service, their support, you're calling, talking to someone in Atlanta. Or, you know, or
talking your own language.
Or Texas. Well, down south, you know. I mean,
need an interpreter sometimes. I
sometimes,
got
but you know, it's a little different. You know, yeah. They're on board with you. They know exactly what you need, and their service is great, and they're really reasonable. Some of the series, some of the ThinkPad series, like the G series, they're very very affordable. For customers.
And we were talking at the break when I talked about getting a new Lenovo at the Technology Center, a new one called the Helix, which I think right now is one of my favorite units. It's just an amazing product from a design perspective. It has the keyboard, but you can release it and it becomes a slate, so you can take it with you and sit on the couch and use the touch screen to view things. They also make a really interesting product called the Tablet 2, which is a very nice, thin and light unit. Can have a pen on it, so you can use it to take notes. A little bit smaller screen, but very portable. I think the biggest thing is determining how you want to use the unit and what screen size you need.
That's exactly it.
No, so, and I would
screen size is a big one, too.
Right. I would agree with Lenovo as a very, very good pick. But I will tell you that the notebook that we got, Justin, as an ultrabook, and very nice, very slick, works well and is well built. And
that was a Samsung,
and we really like that. And then my wife just got a new one, and that was a Dell because we found better value. I looked at Lenovo's and I compared them at her range, right? She's not looking at the really nice computers. She just wanted something that worked, and you know, we just compared at the time that we bought, and that's what you have
now,
to
Shirley,
look at.
Now, Shirley, I'm going to see if I can pull this all together for
Dell
you.
Dell was really good.
Here's what I'm going to suggest.
Let me say one thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not looking for a tablet. I'm not looking for a notebook.
Okay.
I don't want to swipe a screen.
Okay.
I'm primarily using it for spreadsheets and accounting functions and TurboTax.
Okay, here's what I'm going to suggest for you, Shirley. For whatever your needs are, whatever your concerns are, whatever your budget is, I suggest you go to a store. Now, and you live in Rochester Hills. At 12 Oaks right now, Microsoft has got a kiosk out there. Go into a Best Buy, a Staples, or you're not very far from Shane's store.
Oh,
you're
right down the road, actually.
We're at
Shaner and 19 Mile Road, right on the corner there, real close to Hall Road.
The store name is?
Comptech Services.
Okay. Here's what I want you to do, though, Shirley. Go in with what you know is your budget. Get your hands on something, okay? You see what I'm saying? Get your hands on it and use it a little bit. As Shane said, one of the nice things about small places is you can go in on the kiosk, too. You can go in there and get your hands on it. Feel what it's like to work around. And when you've got somebody like a Shane in the store or somebody else, they can say, here, let me show you how you do this. And you get And one thing you may find is the bike is easier to ride than you imagined. And then you can say, well, you know, my spreadsheets would fit better on that.
Yeah, but,
and this is more in my price range.
Yeah, I like the keyboard better on this other one.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
But it sounds like she already has. She's not interested in a notebook or tablets.
Right.
But she may change her mind when she goes in the store. What she thinks she wants right now is a desktop computer. But you may want to walk over to the other aisle and just to look at them.
All we're saying, Shirley, is just go into one of these places where you got some salespeople who will take some time with you and get your hands on it, okay?
All right.
I think that'll help you make your decision. We've given you some things in here, but I think that'll be a better experience
right.
for your overall.
And I know a lot of people that have said the exact same thing that Shirley has, and she may be exactly right for her.
Absolutely.
But for other people, they think, why would I need a laptop? Well, because sometimes right. they go on vacation.
Right.
Sometimes they just want to go sit in the living room or in the kitchen, right, with right. it. It's a smaller footprint.
There's also a mindset, I think, too. Pardon me, Gary. Yep. Laptops used to be huge, expensive.
Yeah,
and you could buy a desktop for $200-$300, and now the prices have almost flipped.
Well, yeah.
And you could buy a laptop for $300 or $400 and a desktop not...
Same range. It really has become much more competitive.
And so the one thing that I also, she said she didn't want the touchscreen. I will tell you, you start getting used to the touchscreen. Yeah. To be able to put your finger on the cell, right? It's actually easier to just reach and point rather than
in a spreadsheet. Yeah.
Rather than yeah. reach over to grab the mouse.
Right. Exactly.
So much easier.
Especially with
than
some
a mouse
of the smaller screens with the tiny resolution, if you can make it bigger, touching it may be easier than putting a mouse on it.
That's right.
Okay, Shirley, we've given you a lot of stuff there, but generally, folks, we took some time with that because a lot of people are coming to us. How do I make a decision? Where do we go next? We've given you a bunch of recommendations, but really, I think you'll enjoy the experience of going into a store, getting your hands on it, and working around with it a little bit. Let's go to Paul in Lansing. Paul, let's see if we can get your question in quickly. How you doing, Paul?
Hi. I have a new desktop machine that I built, that my son-in-law built for me in October of 2012. It has Windows 7 on it. The database that I use uses Crystal Reports to run reports.
Okay.
And it was not running reports, so they said, well, reinstall Windows 7. So I reinstalled Windows 7, and everything works perfectly on the machine except for that database when you try to run reports. They have spent hours and hours and hours with me, and they say, hey, our database works fine. It's something on your system is blocking these reports from running, and I just don't know what
okay.
to do.
Okay, what we're going to do, Paul, is we're going to put you on hold right now, and we're going to talk with you a little bit more offline on the phone during the break. When we come back on, we'll see if we can present some of the thoughts that we've had with you, okay? We're back with Paul in just a moment. We've also got Harry in Port Huron and Jim in Toledo. We've got lots of people lined up here. We'll get back to your questions on the Internet Advisor. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor, and I want to thank Shane Hamlin for being with us, along with Mike Amond and Dave. Thank you so much. Dave Sawyer from Microsoft. Eddie, good to have you here, of course.
Oh, it's always great, but I don't know anything about Crystal Reports.
Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit. Our last caller, we're going to get with him about the Crystal Reports in just a moment. And Gary, of course, and Justin, thank you for coming in. Well, and the guys behind the glass, just thank you very much, Scott Iometta, and also Andy Nichols, our lady of the phones, and who's that? Rich, there? Rich, thank you back there. Thank you for all working. This has been a wild program today, folks. It's been a great one.
Winding up 3 hours.
Yeah, 3 hours. If you want to get the whole thing, I'll be downloading the podcast uploading the podcast on Sunday night, and you can catch all 3 hours of it there. All right, let's go back. Let's talk to Paul briefly again, because it's kind of hairy. Paul, what you presented us with was a specific problem with the database and its reporting. Crystal Reports was a particular piece of software, right?
Well, the Crystal Reports is the reporting...
For the database.
So he's installed the database. He's used it for a long time over many different systems. He's used it now, Paul. You said you did use it with this computer, and then all of a sudden it stopped working?
No, from the beginning, since this computer's been new, it has not successfully run those databases.
But it does work on other machines that you haven't built.
Correct.
Okay. So and we're saying it doesn't sound like the operating system.
And it doesn't sound like the database.
The database.
So it could be a driver.
Well, right. But you know what Shane said when he was leaving, because he'd leave early, they're going to see, you know, someone tonight at the palace. And he basically said, Crystal Reports, when you're working with them, they say, it's always the hardware. It's never their fault.
Right.
So what Shane said is to actually go in there and actually get the database error, the Crystal Report error.
Error number.
And he's done that.
And he's done that.
Yep.
And then he's done a little binging on it. He's searched.
Yeah, and he's been on tech support with this database company for about 4 hours, and they use the error message to try to figure it out too. So there's something in between this database and the ability to write crystal reports, and it's very possible.
But it's unique to this machine, right, Paul?
It's unique to this
machine.
But any difference in processor architecture or video card? Is there anything configured differently on this machine compared to the other machines where it does work?
Yeah, he has built this machine.
Well, isn't Crystal Reports one software product, the database is another, and Windows and the hardware are yet two other scenarios?
Now,
so does Crystal Reports work on other databases, test databases?
First of all, he won't be able to use them because it's embedded in and sold with the database.
Oh, thank you. Did not realize that.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a version of Crystal Reports. You know, Crystal Reports does this, so I know. I've used many different other programs that uses Crystal Reports as its reporting mechanism.
Sure, okay.
Right?
It's a plugin, almost like a plugin.
Yes, and it's hobbled specifically for that, but I don't believe, I initially thought it was the database and just reinstall that, and that's not that.
So but the fact that it will run properly on other machines.
That's correct.
How about in a Windows XP mode? So
compatibility
mode. When you're in Windows 7, you can run in a compatibility mode and try that. That way,
that's a good try. Yeah.
So that way, you're still working on the same system.
It would abstract the hardware a bit because it would be virtualized. So that might be something that would be interesting to try. That was kind of why I asked them the hardware question. Right, is there something specific hardware-wise that's different on this machine than the others that might be throwing something?
And you're absolutely right. It probably is since they built this one. Is that right, Paul?
I do have another machine that was also built that has Windows 7 on it. It works perfectly on that machine.
Okay. Was it built exactly the same?
No. It's probably 3 years old, so it's older technology, older stuff.
So I think what Dave said is probably the root cause. I think one of the ways to get at it is what Ed said.
Well, how about safe mode? Would it be possible to run it in safe mode to see if it's a driver issue? So when you power up Windows, you can tap the F8 key run in safe mode and then run your database again. And that way you're running all Windows generic safe drivers, will. The screen is going to be huge.
It also eliminates any startup programs that you would have, and that could be something that would be conflicting. So that's a great
recommendation. So just as a diagnostic tool, try that, Paul, okay?
So three different possibilities, right? There are at least ways that we can try to isolate the problem.
In summary, run it in XP mode, run it in safe mode, because that's very easy to try, and, of course, try and look for some sort of driver hardware issue.
Right.
Okay, Paul. Try some of those. I realize that you've been on with many tech resources, but let's throw those into the hopper as well.
Then get a hold of us if there's some possible way that if it doesn't work, any of those don't work, then see if we can help again.
Okay, I want to go to Pat in Wolverine Lake. Hi, Pat. How are you doing?
How you doing? Hold on a second, guys.
All right.
Sorry, I had you on speakerphone waiting for you to get on the phone.
There you go. Okay, now you're
Windows 8 Explorer. I had bought a Windows 7 machine, and I got to have Windows 8. So I put Windows 8 on it, and it's been working fine. But every once in a while, depending upon what your website you're on, all of a sudden it decides it wants to close. And it reopens and closes and reopens again. I mean, it can happen, it won't happen one evening and the next evening, like three different websites. It just decides it wants to close. There's no reason down at the bottom why it's closing, but it just closes down and restarts itself.
Any thoughts, Dave?
Go ahead.
No, okay. I don't have anything on that.
It's frustrating. I get on the Microsoft forum and their user forum and, there's so many people asking questions. I can never find a question that I ask to get an answer.
Here's what I believe might be the start of a solution, and that is certain programs, there's certain plugins are needed for certain types of websites, right? So let's figure out which websites they are.
For example, I get on the Detroit News or the Detroit Free Press,
right?
And those two invariably, two-thirds of the time, it'll shut down and restart itself, okay?
And it uses a particular program, ActivePaper, right?
Yeah, maybe so. And then, I mean, even on eBay, there's times on eBay when I'm on eBay, and all of a sudden, like 1 out of 10 times I'm on it, decides, I'm going to restart itself.
Quick question for you. How do you get onto Internet Explorer? Do you get it through the Metro panel?
The Who panel?
You know, the Metro panel with
in Windows 8.
The modern Windows 8.
Start screen.
The old, like the Windows 7 toolbar or Windows XP toolbar at the bottom where it's got the big E.
Okay, so you're on the desktop when you're doing this.
I'm on a desktop, yeah.
Because there's two different ways. You actually are entering two different versions of IE10,
yeah,
aren't you?
One doesn't allow add-ins, right? And we talked about that.
That's the one that's off of the Metro
thing. That's one that's off of the new user interface, right. Yeah. So,
And it could be an add-in, right, that's corrupted.
Are you saying the Metro page or whatever, that's the regular Windows 8 screen that's got all the little icons all over
yes,
the place?
Yes, yes. Yeah. But what Dave is saying is the uniqueness of that, the difference of that is that doesn't allow add-ons. So if an add-on is the problem when you get to these different websites, you might not experience the problem there if you use that.
So like if I click on that, the Microsoft E,
right,
on that desktop, all of a sudden I go to apps.microsoft.com and all of a sudden I got a program up there to buy for $1.49.
That you may be able to change the home page on that, but I mean you shouldn't be taking.
I use the home page. I use a regular home page, but I've never accessed it from this Windows 8 screen.
Try that from the Windows 8 screen, right. Dave. How do you set the home page in that?
You can actually, it should have the address bar along the bottom. I mean, it'd be easy to go to Bing.com and try that out, or eBay.com and go with that browser. You shouldn't be seeing any kind of ads or anything like that coming up on that page.
I see. Okay.
So,
I see when you click on that, the little icons pop up. Okay.
Yep. And go in through that and see if that solves a problem for you, because that will eliminate the add-ons and that may be a problem. Now, what I'll tell you, by the way, Pat, because we've got to run right now, and thanks for giving us a call. But if you have any more questions, email them to us. Go to the Contact Us button on our homepage at internetadvisor.net, and we'll follow up as best we can.
And for our caller with the cell phone problems, have a caller that's calling in and says Wilson Electronics makes a booster for cell phones.
Excellent. So Wilson Electronics makes a booster for cell phones.
Yeah, they're very good. They have a whole lineup of products.
Excellent. Guys, thanks so much. Dave, Mike Amon, thank you very much for being here with us. All the rest of you folks in the studio, it's been a wonderful program. We're going to try to get to some of the folks who are on hold right now before we clear out of here. But again, go to internetadvisor.net. You see all of our show notes there with the links, lots of good stuff. And you can go to the Contact Us form and get your email to us. Thanks so much for being with us. On behalf of our staff, have a good day.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisors Show, the longest-running, locally produced computer show in Detroit radio. If you'd like to find out more about our weekly show, ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit internetadvisor.net. And you'll also find us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.